We all know the Annunciation. As we heard in yesterday's Gospel, when the Archangel Gabriel went to that town in Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man of the house of David whose name was Joseph, the virgin's name was Mary. We know how Mary, in response to that intervention from God, said a wholehearted fiat, "Let it be done to me according to your word. I am the Lord's handmaid." But 25 years ago, when Blessed John Paul II wrote his superb exhortation on Mary as Mother of God, the Mother of the Redeemer, he said Mary had three annunciations, and we need also to ponder the second and the third. Today, in the Gospel, the scene of the presentation, we have the second annunciation. Not by the Archangel Gabriel, but by this man moved by the Holy Spirit who had been driven into the temple, awaiting the consolation of Israel. And after he pronounced a prophecy with regard to Jesus, turned to his mother and said, "And behold, your heart also was seared, a sword will pierce, so that the thoughts of many will be revealed." That her being the mother of the Redeemer would be something in which she would share in the suffering that was necessary for the redemption. That as he would be a sign of contradiction, the literal words there in the Greek, for the ruin or the resurrection of many, Mary would be cooperating with that. And Mary there in the temple said her second wholehearted fiat, "Let it be done to me according to your word," that she would allow her heart to be pierced over and over again. And then the third annunciation came not by an archangel, came not by an elderly charismatic man, but it would come from the parched lips of her son on the cross. When Jesus, seeing the disciple whom he loved, which is not just John the Evangelist, but you, seeing the disciple whom he loved, he turned and said, "Behold your son, behold your daughter." And Mary said her third great fiat mihi secundum verbum tuum, and took her beloved sons and daughters, her beloved disciples, into her heart as she was embraced in the beloved disciples' homes. In order to understand Mary's vocation and mission, we need to grasp all three of these annunciations. We're here at the shrine of Our Lady of La Salette. And what's always moved me about Our Lady's appearance here is to ponder her weeping. When I was a seminarian, I would go often to the shrine of Our Lady of La Salette in Attleboro, and I'd just sit at the bottom of the Stations of the Cross, pondering Mary with her face in her hands, bawling her eyes out. So much more comforting for us to look at a Mario depiction of the Blessed Virgin Mary, who I think is the most beautiful woman ever depicted, with the crown of 12 stars, with the moon under her feet, crushing the head of the serpent. So much easier for us to ponder Mary in glory. It's hard to ponder Mary weeping, but it's important for us to do so. And I've never forgotten those whole afternoons in prayer before that statue. One of the toughest things about being a priest is trying to console mothers and grandmothers. It's almost always mothers and grandmothers who come because one son is a drug addict. She's had to make the call of whether he's going to be welcomed back into the home because she can't take anymore his stealing. all that she needs to survive. And as much as she loves him, she knows that it's one, not good for him, and two, not good for anybody else, especially when she's got to pay for medications and everything else. That broken heart, pierced over and over again, or the grandmother's heart that has seen so many of her grandkids wander away from the practice of the faith, living in lifestyles that are not leading them on the path to heaven. And out of that abundant love, she wonders if they're ever going to turn and say yes to the gift of the Lord's mercy. So many sacrifices, so many tears. A couple weeks ago, we had the great feast of Saint Monica, who was there bawling her eyes out in a church after she had prayed 17 years for the conversion of her husband, Patricius, and another 15 years for the conversion of her son, Augustine. There was a bishop who saw this mother weeping and spoke for God and said, "The object of so many tears will surely not perish." But it took 32 years for Niagara Falls of tear ducts before that prayer was answered. If any mother who loves weeps for a wandering son or daughter or grandchild, how much more will the mother who loves perfectly weep? One of the few things I'm able to say to console mothers in circumstances like that is, please know that you don't weep alone. As much as you love your child, please know that the Blessed Mother loves your child even more, and she weeps with you. And please know that God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, loves your child even more and weeps with you and never stops. Thanks be to God, he's omnipotent, and Mary is the mother of omnipotence incarnate. So please never give up hope. If St. Monica's tears became her greatest prayer, how much more will Mary's tears and Jesus' tears be efficacious? Here at La Salette, we see something really important beyond Mary's tears. We see how Mary behaves. Yesterday, we talked at the chapel of St. Bernadette about how God chooses the unlikely for his missions, that he chooses the weak to shame the strong, the nobodies to shame those who are somebodies, the stupid to shame the intelligent. And so here, she chose two shepherds who didn't even say their prayers, two shepherds who didn't keep holy the Lord's Day, two shepherds who came from families that were basically far from the practice of the faith. And she came and she summoned them through their compassion to service. No kid can ever take a parent crying. Kids can't take anybody crying. If you ever want to see it, have one kid start crying in a preschool. And everybody starts crying before everybody figures out, why are we crying? And so it was Mary's tears, seated, that drew them close. But her tears also had a burst of light associated with them. That while she was crying, there was always light behind it. It wasn't a darkness with no hope, but it was precisely a tear full of hope. That was even shown as she was wearing her son's crucifix. So many people look at the crucifix and just see pain. She saw redemption. We had, as happened on the video, which was very beautiful in terms of its theology, prior to this Mass, that we see both the hammer that through every sin nails Christ's members more firmly to the tree. But we also see the pincers that take those nails out through every act of loving union together with the Lord. There was a sign of hope that there are always those pincers to take out those nails. And she wanted to make them the agents of that hope, to take those pincers out into the world, to help people learn the simple path backward. What is that simple path? Mary pointed out a few things there, and we need to do the opposite of what made her weep. First thing was blasphemy. People were taking her son's name in vain. What's the opposite of that? Using our ability to speak, our ability to think, our ability to communicate, to praise God. Second, people weren't keeping Holy the Lord's Day, which is the single greatest gift ever given to the human race. As St. John Vianney said, whom we visited yesterday, attending Mass, and he means praying Mass, not just showing up, attending Mass is the single greatest thing we can ever do. Any day of our life, attending Mass is the single greatest act we can ever do. But just like parents tell their kids, brush your teeth, it's a command that they give out of love because they don't want their child to lose all their teeth. So God makes that good action a commandment for us on Sundays so that we don't become slaves to other things. At least on Sundays, we're supposed to go out of obligation. He doesn't want us showing up simply out of duty. He wants us to show up out of love. But he gives us that command. And when we start living a life in which we crowd God out even on the Lord's Day, then the Lord's not our Lord on Monday either, or Tuesday, or Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, or Saturday. He is no longer Lord of our life. That's why it pains this mother so much. Third thing is that they weren't even saying Our Fathers and Hail Marys, not one at each day. They weren't uniting themselves at all. The opposite, of course, is to be praying the Our Father, the Hail Mary, and so many other prayers. And then the fourth thing, there was no penance happening. No reparation. She said, even during Lent, a season in which people are supposed to convert and come back to the faith, even during Lent, people are going to the butchers as if they're in famished animals. They don't care even about abstinence. They're not living any penance at all, even during Lent. It pained this most lovable heart of the mother. But Maximine and Melanie, they were to be the missionaries of this hope. They were ones very capable of saying, we didn't practice any of these four things. But now we're called precisely to do it. I think it's quite curious that Mary, when they first found her, was seated on something they had built. Melanie was incredibly shy. Maximine met her for the first day the previous day, and the one he was working for said, she's from the same town. Watch the cows with her as they were grazing. And he went over to this Melanie, and Melanie didn't want to have anything to do with him, just kept wandering away. Finally recognized that he was a good guy, allowed them to stay together. And then they began to build a little shrine. Melanie was picking up some flowers. They were picking up some rocks. That's where they brought all the cows. To build a little shrine that Melanie called Paradis. Paradise. She had this implicit hunger for heaven within. And the next day as they were sleeping close to where the shrine was, all their cows had disappeared. She awakened Maximine and went to go try to find where the cows were. And as she went over a little bluff, saw where they were, and then turned around and noticed that there was a burst of light coming from paradise. And that's where precisely Mary was seated, weeping. They had a deep hunger for heaven, and Mary was weeping because they weren't living on the path so that they would be able to get even higher than here, even nearer, my God, to thee, than here. So she wanted them to become those shepherds, those alpine climbers, who were capable of teaching others the road to heaven. They were to be those ambassadors of hope. Blessed John Paul II wrote in 1996 about this message of La Salette, what Mary did here, and how it's supposed to change us all. He said, it's fundamentally one of hope. The message of La Salette, he wrote, was given to two young shepherds in a period of great suffering. People were scourged by famine, subjected to many injustices. Indifference or hostility toward the gospel message was worsening. As she appeared, bearing upon her breast the likeness of her crucified Son, Our Lady showed herself to be associated to the work of salvation, experiencing compassion for her children. La Salette is a message of hope, a hope sustained by the intercession of her who is the mother of all peoples. She had said that her arms were no longer strong enough to hold up her sons. The video didn't describe what that image is. But Jesus is the new Moses. And we remember when the Israelites, being led by Joshua, were fighting the Amalekites on the plain. Aaron, the priest, and Hur were holding up Moses' arms on the mountain. And as long as Moses' arms were elevated, the Israelites won the day. But as soon as he began to weary and the arms dropped, then the Amalekites won the day. So what they eventually did is they got him a stone for him to sit on so that Aaron and Hur could hold his arms right there. And the Israelites came to victory. Jesus' arms get weary, carrying us on his shoulders. Mary co-redeems with Christ, keeping his arms uplifted in prayer. And we're all supposed to fulfill that same function of the Blessed Virgin, experiencing this compassion. The arm of Mary's Son, John Paul II said, will not weigh upon, will not condemn the people who walk humbly in the pathway of the Lord. Christ will take the outstretched hand into his own and lead to new life the sinner reconciled by the grace of the cross. At La Salette, Mary clearly spoke of the constancy of her prayer for the world. She will never abandon the people created in her Son's image and likeness, those to whom it has been given to become children of God. May she lead to her Son all the nations of the earth. We begin this Mass by praying those beautiful words of the Stabat Mater, which should make us weep. We turn to Our Lady here on this hill, and we say, O Thou Mother, Fount of Love, touch my spirit from above. Make my heart with Thine accord. Make me feel as Thou hast felt. Make my soul to glow and melt with the love of Christ my Lord. We experience that love. And in that love, learn from Mary to say fiat to the annunciation that the Lord God gives each of us here. We are called to continue that mission of hope given to Maxime and Melanie. May we take those pincers and go throughout the world. Praise be Jesus Christ.